In today's gospel, Christ foresees the need for fidelity in the face of persecution at the end times. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to the prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. But you will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There was this young artist who was kind of struggling getting his career going. He'd sold a couple of pieces, but, you know, things were hard. He had most of his work in a particular small gallery. And one day he got a call from the gallery owner. Gallery owner said, "I've got good news and bad news for you." So the artist said, "Well, give me the good news first." So he said, "Well, this man came in, was looking around, looked at all of your paintings, and he asked me a question. He said, 'Is it true that artwork gets more valuable when the artist has died?' Usually, you know, after they die, their art becomes more valuable." So I told him, "Yes, that was true." And the good news is he bought all your paintings. The artist said, "Well, that's wonderful. That's great. What's the bad news?" The gallery owner said, "Well, the man was your doctor." Good news, bad news. Well, in the gospel today, Christ does kind of the same thing. There's bad news and there's good news. The bad news is, in some sense, the bad news, that one day everything's coming to an end. Everything as we know it will come to an end. That's the bad news. We don't know when that's going to be. He's talking today in the scripture, first of all, about the end of the temple. The temple, of course, was the center of life for the Jewish people. And when that temple was destroyed, it was as if the world was coming to an end. That happened within one generation of Jesus' prediction today. But he's also hinting at something more than just the destruction of the temple. The end of all time, the end of all things. It's going to happen. So suppose I were to tell you this morning But I had a revelation last night. God told me that he's leaving it up to this church this morning as to when he comes. So I want to take a vote. Simple majority. How many of you would like the Lord to come tomorrow? Put your hand up. Well, not too many. Why? Suppose the vote was being taken in one of those refugee camps where people have been in those tents for 5, 6, 7 years, barely enough to eat, with no hope that that was going to change. How do you think they'd vote? Or suppose you were somebody that was captured into slavery, which is happening all over the world. Might be sexual slavery, might be slavery of some other sort. But whatever it is, you have no hope of getting out of that. How would you vote then? Would you vote for the Lord to come? You know, it's interesting that when the first Christians gathered to celebrate the Eucharist as we are this morning, at the end of their celebration, the end of every celebration, their final prayer was the Aramaic word Maranatha. That word Maranatha, you know what it means? Come, Lord Jesus. Final thing they prayed every time they gathered for the Eucharist was, come, Lord Jesus. They wanted him to come, bring everything to completion, finish his work of salvation. That's what they were hoping for, longing for. So if they weren't afraid of the end, why should we be? Because there's good news, you see. The bad news is there will be an end. The good news is this, that when it comes, whenever it should be, tomorrow, in 1,000 years, in 10,000 years, whenever it comes, for those who have followed the Lord as best they could, it will not be a day of terror. It will be a day of victory, a day of glorification, a day of wonder and awe. The good news. The prophet says that this morning, Malachi, doesn't he? He foresees the fire coming of the end, but then he says, but for you who are faithful, the Son of Justice will rise with his healing rays. And Jesus himself says, even though you're brought under great stress, not a hair of your head will be lost. Good news. The end for those who are faithful will be a day of wonder, glorification, vindication, a day of resurrection. That's the good news. So we don't have to be afraid if it were tomorrow, as long as we're trying to follow the Lord as best we can. You know, St. Paul describes it this way. He says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has the human mind imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. At the end, we can't even imagine how wonderful it will be. Or St. John, writing in the book of Revelation, that very last book of the New Testament, John's vision of the coming of the Lord, finally. What does St. John say? He says, I saw a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And the one on the throne said, behold, this is my dwelling place among men. There will be no more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I make all things new. What beautiful, powerful words, huh? I make all things new. Now, sometimes we have this vision that when the end comes, the universe is going to be destroyed and those who are faithful will go to heaven. That's not what that reading from Revelation says, though, is it? I saw a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Where? Here. God will take up his residence among the universe. Remember in the book of Genesis, after he's created everything, what does God say? God looked at everything and everything he found very good. He's not going to destroy the universe. It's going to be transformed, glorified, transfigured to be what God always wanted it to be. A day of glorification, transfiguration, resurrection. Behold, I make all things new. That's our future. That's the future of those who love and follow the Lord. I make all things new. So in view of that, then, what should we be doing day by day as we wait the end, whenever it is? Our own death may likely come first. But what should we be doing day by day? Well, we live today in view of the world of tomorrow. We live right now as citizens of that future world. Because that's who we are, citizens of the kingdom, the glorified final kingdom. We live today as citizens of that kingdom. What's that mean? Summarized most simply, Jesus has said, love one another as I have loved you. That doesn't mean think nice thoughts about one another. It means make each other's lives better. Even when you sacrifice for others, live that way. Live as I have lived for you. That's how we live day by day, every day, waiting for that final time, whenever it comes. Let me conclude with a little story you might have heard before about this young monk back in the earliest days of the church. You know, in those days, if you wanted to be a monk, there were no monasteries. You went out into the desert by yourself, into a cave, and you did your monkey things out there in the cave. So this young monk is out there, and he's living the life of a monk. But right down the road, not too far away from him, was a very elderly monk who'd been out in the desert for many years. So the young monk would visit the old monk once in a while just to kind of, you know, get a better sense of what he should be doing. So one day he says to the old monk, Father, he says, suppose you knew that tomorrow was going to be the last day. What would you do if it was the last day? So the old monk said, well, I think I'd get up in the morning and have a little cup of tea. I'd say my morning prayers. I'd go out and work in my garden for a while. I'd come in, say mass, have lunch, take a nap, get up, go out, work in the garden some more, come in, have supper, say my prayers, go to bed. The young monk said, that's what you'd do if it was the last day, but that's what you do every day. Old monk said, why should the last day be any different than any other day? For those of us who live as citizens of tomorrow's world, why should the last day be any different than any other day? So as we gather here this morning, think about what those early Christians prayed, because they knew it was good news, good news. You know that the last words, among the very last words of the New Testament that St. John writes in that book of Revelation, among the very last words in the whole New Testament are these words, come, Lord Jesus. Look it up. Turn your Bible to the book of Revelation, the very last words, the last couple of verses. Come, Lord Jesus. Because it's good news. Good news. Because he comes to make all things new. May God bless you.